This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Taylor Twellman, our guest here on Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Taylor, how are you today? We appreciate the time, sir.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Doing well.
we are good. We were honestly, both of us just commenting. Now, Tony's daughters play soccer, so he's more of a soccer guy. I'm trying to become a soccer guy, but I just wanted to compliment you. When I watch a match that you broadcast, I feel like I learn stuff. And I'm curious, as somebody who knows the game so well, how do you, when you're doing your broadcast, how do you kind of walk the line between talking to the soccer purist and talking to the soccer novice who might be tuned in?
Well, one, I appreciate the compliment. Two, I'm actually not a soccer guy, Chris, to be honest with you. You know, I grew up playing probably more baseball and basketball than I did soccer. I had a, grandfather that won 2 World Series with the Yankees. I've had an uncle that was on the PGA Tour for 20 years. And then my father and two of his brothers played pro soccer for however long. So I grew up in an athletic family. I think to answer your question, I would say this. As long as I'm myself, I think the viewer is going to be engaged. They're going to, one, disagree with me, or be I'm polarizing. It is what it is. But at least I will genuinely, I'm enthusiastic. I love my life. I love the job. I think it's an absolute privilege to be able to do this. And when I talk the game, I'm going to try to do it in a way that the real expert and someone that's just getting into it is at least going to be engaged and say, yeah, I never think about I don't talk down to anyone. And I firmly believe this. No question is a dumb question. There's just dumb people, right? And so when you ask that question, you got to be able to listen to it. And how can I answer it? So it's been challenging, but one that I really, really appreciate. And the way that came from, and I think, Tony, you'll understand this. Every 4 years, because you've got daughters that play, every 4 years, everyone in the United States is a fan of soccer.
Locked in.
Because the World Cup comes around, and the red, white, and blue. So the LSU college football fan, or the USC women's basketball fan, every 4 years are going to say, all right, the U.S. is playing in the World Cup. Men or women, are we going to win it? And you have to understand that they're just dipping their toe in the water for a brief period of time and coming out. If you're not engaging, if you're not enthusiastic, if you don't speak your mind and be authentic, but also educate in the way that you talk, well, now I'm not taking the opportunity to grow the sport. So, Chris, it's a long-winded answer of saying I don't go into it thinking about it, but I am 100% aware that there's going to be someone new every single time on Apple TV listening to this, and hell, I better be on my game.
Taylor, all that comes through when we're watching. Yeah. So you're doing a fantastic job. I want to ask you a little bit about SDFC. It's a new team here in San Diego. Everybody is through the roof, excited about them. They took their first loss against Austin FC. I mean, expansion, you tell me, is expansion a little bit different in the MLS as it is in the other sports,
yes,
where it seems to take a little bit longer in baseball, football, mm-hmm, basketball for teams to be good? Is it the same in MLS?
No, Tony, and it's a great question. And the reason why it's a great question is it's the number one sport in the world. There's millions of players you can go find. Mm. If you expand in baseball, you're taking everyone's third or fourth starter, right? So naturally, the pitching staffs are going to be depleted for a little bit, or expansion comes around, and now you're talking about a double-A roster that's playing in the majors when truly it shouldn't be. Now, the NHL is a little interesting, right? Because Las Vegas Knights came in right away and blew the doors off of it. But why is that? Well, it's more of a global game. And so I think when the game is so global the way soccer is, football for everyone else outside of our country, Tony, I don't think it is. I think there's a million different ways you can skin a cat. There's a million different ways you can play this game. There's a million different players that you can go out and find and build your identity. San Diego's got that. They're doing well. I think they're going to be tested Saturday night. I think it's going to be one of the hardest games they've played. And they're not as deep. So to answer your question, sure, they've had success. But if they still go through these games missing four opening day starters the way they did against Austin, buddy, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a tough slog to get to the end of the year and try to get into the playoffs.
Taylor Twellman is with us, MLS season pass analyst, soccer guy, and we're excited to have him on the show. It still was stunning when SDFC scored those two goals at the end of the match and in the second half to beat LA Galaxy, the defending champs. But now I'm looking, LA Galaxy hasn't won a match yet, so maybe they're not, you know, coming right back. But LAFC, they are undefeated, right? Or 3-2. I'm looking at the standings wrong because the zeros in the middle with the draws, it's right, still confusing to me. But yeah, this is an established squad. Do they have to? How do they play differently against an LAFC than maybe they had to play against, you know, some of their earlier opponents?
Yeah, the Galaxy are tough, Chris, right? Because they've had the, you know, top five players in the league, Ricky Pooch, ACL, so he's out. And they missed four starters, right? Because their four starters from MLS Cup Final had to move on because of salary cap rules and certain salary restrictions. So I said it before the year, and a lot of people were upset with it. But the fact is, I thought the Galaxy would really struggle to make the playoffs. LAFC is completely different. They are very unique in the way that from their first season, they've dealt with winning MLS Cup, losing MLS Cup, losing CONCACAF Champions Cup, winning U.S. Open Cup, and consistently having to turn over their team. And if I'm not mistaken, they've missed the playoffs once, and that was COVID year or the year after. So my point is they are brilliant in understanding and finding players all over the world, and they've got one of the best players in the league in Denis Bawanga. Fantastic player, does a wonderful job, but then they've got an 18-year-old kid that Ajax, Bayern Munich, everybody wanted. Instead, he comes to LAFC and MLS, and eventually he's going to make the move, I think, after the World Cup for Venezuela to Europe. So they're a unique team, but they're different than San Diego in this. They don't want the ball the way San Diego wants the ball. And I'm very impressed with how stubborn San Diego is in saying, no, we want the ball. We want to dictate the game. We want to play at our level. LAFC's along this path of saying, no, you have it. But the moment you lose it, good luck trying to stop us. They're one of the best, if not the best team on the counterattack. And so that becomes a very interesting game for San Diego. And I think it's also interesting the fact that San Diego hasn't won at home yet. They've had two games at home, and they haven't won.
Yeah,
yeah. There's been a great crowd, but you're right. Haven't been able to get a W yet. I'd be remiss, Taylor, if I didn't ask you a little bit about the USA men's national team. They took a tough one. Couple days ago, and I seen people's heads exploding talking about it. I mean, where is this team at? I mean, it seems like we take a step forward, then we take a step back. We just don't seem to be moving the needle enough to really make the kind of gains that I think people are hoping for. Where are we at, you think, on the U.S. men's national side?
Well, just say during the next commercial break, go into the studio bathroom and look at the toilet, because that's where the entire thing. I just threw up in my mouth. Honestly, Tony, it's as frustrating as anything. And this is not, I need to be very clear on this. It's the first time since 1925 the United States men have lost to Canada in back-to-back home games. They lost to Panama, three straight competitive games. And I'm not downgrading Canada and Panama. What I'm trying to say is maybe we were delusional. Mm. But the 2014 World Cup game where Tim Howard made a record 14, 15, 16 saves, whatever the number was, against Belgium. And if Chris Wondolowski or Clint Dempsey score their chance, they're then playing in the World Cup quarterfinal against Lionel Messi and Argentina on July 4th. And that day, I'm in Brazil calling the game. Everyone and their mothers hit me up on any kind of social media platform, but the conversation is, when are we going to possess the ball? When are we going to play this style? When are we going to be able to play against Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, England, and the top 10 teams in the world? 10 years later, you're losing to Canada at home, which, by the way, may have a better roster than the United States. They have a United States coach that, quite honestly, should have been the head coach for the U.S. men, but that's a completely different radio show and a different conversation. The point, it's disturbing to me, and I need to raise my hand. I'm part of the problem. I said this generation was the golden generation, and in fairness to myself, we've never, my generation, generation before me, and the generation after me, we never had players at Chelsea, Dortmund, AC Milan. Tony, we didn't have that. But now we do. So naturally you say, oh, we're going to be better. The reality is they're not. They're not better. And so that goes to show you. And by the way, if you would, this isn't basketball where if you have the best player in the world, you win. No, it's not. If that was the case, Messi would have four World Cups. Yeah. He's got one.
Yeah.
It depends on cohesion, your team, everything else. But the fact that you're asking me about the Nations League at home and you lose to Panama for the third straight time and Canada back-to-back home games for the first time since 1925, I have to raise my hand and say sorry to the general public. I thought this was the golden generation of player. They're lucky. Extremely lucky that there are automatic qualifiers for the World Cup, because I'm not sure they would qualify.
Taylor, it certainly seems like, because I had a follow-up, but I just get the feeling that that's going to take far longer to answer in terms of where do we go
from
here.
That's right. Both you and I have to run to the bathroom.
Well, you got to go to the bathroom and take a picture and send it to
it. At some point, we've got to have you back on, because I'm fascinated by why, because you're right, for a long time it was said if we start getting our players over in some of the Premier League, some of the better leagues, we would flourish. And we do now, but we still are seeing the same product.
Tony, the short answer to that is that means the rest of the world, though, has to be stagnant.
They're getting
better, too. We assume that the moment we got players over there, everyone else is not. No, we have to grow so much exponentially to catch up with the rest of the world. That's the difference.
We'll keep trying, I'm sure.
No doubt.
In the meantime, we are loving what we see here in San Diego SDFC, and having you on to talk soccer, man, that gets everybody, I think, excited about it around here. And I know we'll have a sellout crowd there Saturday night, and the fans are having a lot of fun. I'm glad San Diego has soccer, and I'm glad we had you on the show, Taylor. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yep. Chris, our sport and our league's much better with people like you talking about it, so I appreciate it.
Very nice.
Thank you,
Taylor. Taylor Twellman right there from the MLS season pass analyst.